Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Central Indiana. I would like for you to hear a wonderful message preached back in July at Crown of Life Baptist Church by Dr. Greg Dixon, Pastor Emeritus, entitled Two Justifications. Dr. Dixon has been my mentor for many years since I entered the ministry almost 30 years ago. He is an amazing Bible instructor, and I wish every preacher boy would have had an opportunity to sit under his tutelage, just as Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Let's go ahead and listen to part three.
What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose men's sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom our Lord will not impute sin. cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Go back to verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Go back to James chapter 2. But there is a justification that speaks of our works practically before God. Now listen to this. It is an infused righteousness, that which we add to our faith. This concerns our justification before the Lord as a servant, faithful, or unprofitable. Either one. It can be either one. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Paul said to the Corinthians, and such were some of you. Now listen to this very carefully. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Now listen to this very carefully. I wondered about this verse all my ministry. He says, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Then listen to this. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He put justification after sanctification. You get that? Justification after sanctification. That's what I'm speaking to you about today. Two justifications. Justification by faith for salvation, and justification, which is sanctification for the kingdom. Two salvations. Salvation for eternity, which is by faith alone, and salvation for the kingdom, which is by faith works. See? Amen. All right. This last verse may speak of this practical justification in that some of these Corinthians were not living as Sodomites and such like, though many were carnal. But the next verses speak of this practical justification, 1 Corinthians 4:3. But with me, Paul said, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. He's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about justification by faith. He's talking about justification for the kingdom. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. That's why he could say at the end of his life, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But he couldn't say it until the end of his life. But Calvinists and Reformed doctrine people cannot say that they're truly saved until the end of their life, because they don't have the assurance of salvation. But we have the assurance of our salvation, but we don't have the assurance of the kingdom to the end of our life, when we can say, yes, I've lived a faithful life. Because we don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do between now and the end of my life. Many old preachers do foolishly. I could tell you of a man, of a faithful preacher, who was an old-time fundamentalist preacher, a leader of fundamentalism, who in his old age went on a trip to Europe and induced a maid to get in bed with him. I mean, the point I'm making is, but he didn't believe in this doctrine of the kingdom. Maybe he should have. See the point I'm making? He didn't teach this doctrine. In fact, he was a contemporary of Patton, and he rejected this doctrine. He was an American pastor, and he was with Patton in the Baptist Union, and he rejected this doctrine. They preached together. He sat and listened to Patton preach and neighbor preach these doctrines and rejected it. Maybe he should have believed it. Now I want to wrap this up. You answer this question for me. You answer this question for me. It says here, it says right here, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Does the Bible contradict itself? Paul said he was justified by faith. In Romans 4, it says he was justified by faith. He believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Now how can he be justified by faith when he believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness? And how can James say he was justified by works when he offered Isaac on the altar and God called him a friend of God? Tell me who's right, Paul or James? You know what the preachers say? Preachers say, well, he was proving, he was giving evidence of his faith. Well, then, what if he hadn't given evidence of his faith? Was he lost? The Arminians then would have said, well, he was lost. The Calvinists would say, well, then he was never saved. Which one are you going to take? Which one are you going to take? The Arminians or the Calvinists? What if he had not offered his son? God said, because I saw that you were willing to offer your own son. What about Jesus? He was led of the devil into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And Hebrews 5:8 says he learned obedience through suffering. He was tempted in all points, even as we, and yet without sin. What if he had failed? What would God have done? What if he had failed? What would God have done? Would he have been lost? You see the point I'm trying to make? Who is right, Paul or James? The point I'm trying to make is, did Abraham have to prove that he was saved? No, he was saved whether he had failed to offer Isaac or not, because God's covenant would not fail, right? Because it was a covenant of what? Grace. Pam, was it a covenant of grace or was it not? Yes or no? Yes. It was a covenant of grace. In Genesis 15, it was a covenant of grace. Now, in Genesis 17, it was a covenant of works. Do you see that?
Yes.
Please tell me. If you don't say you see it if you don't. One was a covenant of grace, the other was a covenant of works. There's two different covenants. One is a covenant of grace, the other one is a covenant of works. You can't mix the two. One is a covenant of grace, the other one is a covenant of works. Janet, do you see that?
I do.
All right, now, let me show you something. Genesis 22:16, and said by myself, I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withhold thy son, thine only son. Oh, here it is, verse 17. Genesis 22:17, Janet. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That in blessing I will bless thee. There it is, Pam. There it is right there. That in blessing I will bless thee. There's two blessings. Okay, the first blessing is in chapter 15. There's the blessing of grace, where he justified him by faith. Okay? So, in blessing, so he was already blessed. So, in chapter 22 and verse 17, he said, God said, in blessing, I will bless thee. Okay? So, while he was blessed by grace, now that he did not withhold his only son Isaac, he's going to give him another blessing. He's going to bless him again. Okay? And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. So he's going to bless him in blessing, because he saw that he was not going to. So he's going to give him salvation by grace. Now, in that blessing, he's going to give him another blessing, which is going to be the kingdom. And he saw a city whose ruler and maker was God. So he's going to give him another blessing. Now look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 6:12. That ye be not slothful. Now here's the condition for the believer. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, there's the first blessing, and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, there it is, there's the first blessing, there's the blessing of grace, blessing, I will bless thee. There's the second blessing. See, the Pentecostals, the holiness, they say we believe in the second blessing. Well, we do too. But they don't know what it is. See, we believe in the second blessing too. It's the kingdom. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, what? Shall be saved. That's what that means. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Let me read it to you out of the Catholic Bible. Let me show you what the Catholic Bible and the NIV says. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, verse 16, and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son. Listen to this. This is what the NIV, the Catholic Bible, which the NIV came from, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. What did they leave out? They left out the second blessing. And they did the same thing in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. They left out the second blessing. Why? because they're Reformed doctrine. So the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ, all of the Reformed doctrine leaves out the second blessing. And here you have MacArthur, you've got Jeffers, you've got Stanley, you've got all of these guys on TV using the NIV, and all of the Pentecostals, and all of them that say they're premillennialists using the NIV, and they're all using a Catholic Bible, saying that they believe in the millennium, and they're leaving out the second blessing using a Reformed Bible on television. Now, do you see it? Yes. Two justifications. Yes, Abraham believed God for justification, but he also believed God for sanctification. There's two justifications. He believed God for justification for eternity, but he also believed God for justification for the kingdom. Now, let me close out. I may have already given you this illustration, but I'm going to give it to you again. God has to justify us for eternity. God has to justify us through the blood of Jesus for salvation, by grace, by faith alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. Someone says, but you have to repent. What are you going to repent of? If you repented until the cows come home, you would still be lost until you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You could repent. My father cleaned up his life. He quit smoking. He quit drinking. But he still was lost until he believed on Jesus. What you have to repent of is your works for salvation. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that you can do to be saved. The rich man was already a believer. He was, when he talked about salvation, he was talking about the kingdom. He wasn't talking about salvation for eternity. That's what nobody understands. He was already a believer in God. He was a Jew. He wasn't an unbeliever. So in order to be saved and go to heaven for eternity, we have to be justified by faith alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. But in order to get into the kingdom, we have to justify God. We have to justify God. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, it'd be like a man has a couple of sons, and he's sitting in his living room one night. The son comes in, he says, Dad, can I borrow the car? His dad takes out the car keys, throws them to him, he goes out, gets in the car, drives off. Another son comes in, he says, Dad, can I take the other car? He said, what are you talking about? He says, you've got 1,000 points on your driver's license. He said, you wrecked the car last week. He said, it cost me $1,000 to get it fixed. And I said, how in the world could I be justified in front of our neighbors if I gave you the car? I'd be the laughingstock of this neighborhood if I gave you our car to go out and drive tonight. He said, you're going to have to prove yourself worthy to be able to drive this car again. That's what I'm talking about. Don't you understand? Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you don't confess me before men, I'll not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you when I come into my kingdom. That's what he said. In 1 Corinthians 6, in Galatians 5, and Ephesians 5, he gave a whole list of sins that will keep you out of the kingdom. James just gave a whole list here in James 2 and James 3. Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and turn back, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. What do you think he was talking about? He said, if you endure to the end, he that endures to the end shall be saved. What do you think he's talking about? Take your concordance and take the word worthy and just go through. Worthy, 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 worthy. Right. Take the word if. Put it in your concordance. If. The kingdom is conditional. Eternity is non-conditional. Right. It's by grace, through faith. Here's a man living in adultery. He's been saved by grace. And when it comes time to go into the kingdom, the whole world is watching. And God allows you to go into the kingdom? He'd be a laughing stock. We have an example in the Old Testament. David's mighty men went into the kingdom. He went into the kingdom. They went into the kingdom with David when he became king. Only his mighty men, a few, went into the kingdom. Even Jonathan went back to his father and died on the Mount Gilboa. Jonathan, as great as Jonathan was, to get into heaven, you have to be justified by faith. Alone, but get into the kingdom, you've got to justify God. I know this is a hard message. That's why Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Few. How many does it take to run a city? A few. A few. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for the privilege and opportunity of bringing this message today to these dear people.
You have been listening to Dr. Greg Dixon, Pastor Emeritus of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple, here on Freedom 95.
Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.